Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you. As always, Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And we got a lot to get to on the show with you here today. We'll have Willie Donick coming up here in just a few seconds here to offer his thoughts on the hiring of Andrew Brunette and a bunch of different Preds topics that we'll get into with them. Another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer coming up here in just a few minutes as well. So lots to get to on the program. But we begin with Willie Donick. He joined Robbie and Rex Road on Tuesday morning, offered his thoughts on the hiring of Andrew Brunette and more. Here's what Willie Donick had to say. So, Willie, on the Preds front, obviously they've hired Andrew Brunette. They moved on from John Hines. I guess a couple of things. Number one, what do you make of the hiring of Andrew Brunette? And what do you make, I guess, big picture of just the changing of the guard that is now taking place with the Predators, with Trotz coming in as GM, Brunette coming in as head coach, and the approach that it looks like they're taking as they move forward here?
Well, you know, I said all along, I was really hoping. I felt like John Hines had done enough to deserve a shot to start next year. So I would have been totally fine if that's the direction that they went. But I think Barry Trotz saw the vision of how they want to play. They want to play a little faster. They want to play a little bit more offensive-minded. He wants to build that team accordingly. And I think he feels like Andrew Brunette has got a better chance to do that. The other thing that I think we would all agree on is I feel like Barry Trotz probably thinks that they have who they have with some of the veterans, and for them to be successful in the next couple of years or get the most out of what they do have, they've got to get more out of Matthew Shane, Philip Forsberg, maybe Ryan Johansson, although, as has been pointed out even by Barry Trotz, they have some other options, some intriguing options that are younger down the middle at center. And so maybe Andrew Brunette with a fresh start, different approach, might get more out of those guys. So those were some of my thoughts. I mean, I don't know Andrew Brunette very well, but I do go way back. You know, I was there and covering the team that first year when he was there, so I remember him well for sure. And he's certainly been a million places since then. And I think he's got a really intriguing background that is a little different than John Hines.
So actually, you know, I think I want to ask Willie the same question that we were asking each other last week. This will be interesting.
Sure.
So all right, hypothetical, Willie. I know you love the hypotheticals. Next 5 years, Nashville Predators, whatever happens. Trotz, you know, builds an incredible team. It's an average team, whatever it is. Same team next 5 years. Just the information we have. We have a lot more on Hines than we do on Brunette. But your confidence level scale of 1 to 10. Hines coaching that team for 5 years. Again, the exact same team, exact same personnel. Or Brunette coaching that team next 5 years.
You know, we had a really good talk on our show yesterday about, you know, the fact that it looks like, you know, if you listen to Elliot Friedman, the latest he said, and he doesn't claim to know everything, but the Rangers search looks like it's John Hines or Peter Laviolette. And on the surface, you're thinking, how in the world would you want John Hines over Peter Laviolette? Based on track record and accolades, you know, it's really no contest, right? But they definitely have two different approaches. Every coach probably has strengths and weaknesses. But what I concluded, you know, really when we were debating it back and forth is probably after 4 or 5 years of any one coach, it's hard to continue to have the same message and have it be fresh, right? I think that's just how a lot of pro sports work. As much as, you know, you respect the coach, and I'm always a defender of coaches for the most part. Any sport we're talking about, college or pro, I tend to defend the coach and give the coach a lot more benefit of the doubt than some people who are ready to pull the trigger a lot quicker than I am. But I do understand if you look at history, once you've coached about 4, 5, 6 years, it starts getting harder and harder to sustain success unless you've got a loaded team. So all that to say, you know, maybe it was time for the fresh start. Barry Trotz, you know, it's probably inevitable. Even Barry Trotz, who coached 14 years, you know, he changed out. He got fired twice, basically, or left once and got fired once after he left the Predators. So he understands that there are cycles involved sometimes.
Willie, on the front of the goaltending part of this, because I thought, you know, Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett had their press conference last week, and I thought they made some really interesting comments. And then Trotz went on Jared's show, and Jared asked him about the goaltenders and, you know, whether or not at some point a decision is going to have to come down on that front. And basically, you know, Trotz gave, you know, the general manager answer of, you know, you'll leave your options open and have to consider things. But one thing he did say was, you know, if somebody offers him the third overall pick this year, then that's something they'd have to think about with one of their goaltenders. And we threw this out there last week. You know, if somebody offered you the third overall pick for UC Saros, would you do it? And I said that I would. I said, because that means you probably identified a centerman that you think could be your franchise centerman of the future. And this is just me personally speaking. The Predators may have a different approach. But honestly, when Saros' contract comes up in a couple of years, I don't really have a lot of interest in paying a goalie $9.5 million a year, which is what I think they're going to have to pay him. So what do you make of that discussion and the idea of the goaltenders at some point, be that Saros or Askarov, one of them maybe having to be traded? And would you consider that if you're Barry Trotz, if you could move up really high in this year's draft?
Well, I was sitting there when Jared was doing that interview. It was an excellent interview. I had just had an interview with Andrew Burnett for the Predators website, and we played it on our show yesterday. So I thought that was a really good discussion. I've thought about this a lot because I know this is probably going to be something we talk about for the next couple of years as they weigh this. As Askarov now just is officially finished his first pro season in North America, he looks like a really promising prospect. But to me, Robbie, specifically for the third pick in the draft, if I'm going to consider trading Saros at all, and I'm not leaning that way, because the cap is going to go up. I feel like UC Saros is an absolute certainty, premier guy in the prime of his career, and it's going to be for a long time. He also, we know, does all of the right things to prepare himself. He's got the makeup. He's got the work ethic. He has got a track record of being healthy. That's a guy that, to me, I'm willing to invest the next contract in, because I know that he's going to do everything he can to stay in that premier shape for as long as he can. So all that to say, would you trade, let's say, Justin Herbert for the third pick in the draft if you were the Chargers?
Probably not. No, but
– okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a premier – UC Saros, to me, is a premier goalie. An elite goalie is the same thing as an elite quarterback.
I don't know
is
about that.
Is it, though? Is it?
I mean, the Golden Knights are getting ready to win a Stanley Cup with Aiden Hill as their goalie.
Right. There's different ways to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you can win the quarter, you can win the Super Bowl with Brad Johnson, but it certainly helps that you have a guy that tips the scales. UC Saros tips the scales. I saw, you know, some analytics people say he was worth about 16 points in the standings this last year.
Right.
Barry Trotz said, I think, a number even higher than that. So we're talking about a guy that is worth that much, I think. So the third pick in the draft, right, in the NHL, I just pulled up a couple, and here's a name you guys will love to hear again. 2007 draft, the third pick in the draft was Kyle Turris.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The 2008 third pick in the draft was Zach Bogosian. So these – you know, I'm just, it's a little bit hit or miss. It's not a certainty that you're going to get a franchise player with the third pick in the draft, even though there's a lot of guys that are, right? We can go pick a year. You could find five guys who were third picks in the draft that were great players. I think, what was Duchesne? Was Duchesne a third or fourth pick in the draft?
Yeah,
he was way up there.
He was up there.
So all I'm saying is, if I'm going to trade Saros, I need certainty. I need guys who are already great players to get value back for Saros. I'm not trading him for future possibilities. Now, I would trade Askarov for the third pick in the draft, maybe. That would be something I would consider, for sure. But if I'm going to trade Saros, I need a haul of certain things. Plus, you know, you got to throw in a couple first round picks too. To me, he's that type of player. He's got that kind of value.
So you're not of the mind that they're going to have a long term setup of Saros and Askarov together. Like one of them is probably going to be turned into assets coming back.
I think that's possible. Barry Trotz did say in that interview with Jared that, you know, all of these things are possible, right? He'd consider everything depending on what comes his way. But Askarov, he looks like he's got an amazing – I tell people who don't know hockey that well, they're like, what about Askarov? So the way I look at it is like he's got the – he's that kid in single A right now that's got that upper 90s live fastball, the electric – slider. He's got all the pieces, but it just needs a little more refining, and that's just going to take some time. It takes goalies a little bit longer. So you could see that. Like, UC Saros became Pecorine's backup when he was 21, and he was the backup for, what, 4 years at least, and before he started to get more and more playing time. So that scenario could work because Askarov is going to be inexpensive. But Joe, I think it will be tempting if you're still looking for that premier center that Barry Trotz has said specifically he's been looking for, right? Then Askarov could be the piece that could get you there, get you a better chance to get there.
Willie, last thing for you here. I mean, everybody, we've talked a lot about the offensive approach of Andrew Brunette, and Barry Trotz has talked about, you know, that's the way the league is going. You want to get more offensive. Now, as you know, I mean, they've got a lot of forwards that I think Predators fans should be excited about right now coming up through the pipeline. And I look at their draft picks. They've got 7 picks in the top 83. I would not be surprised if the first pick that they have this year at number 15 overall, and we'll see how the board plays out. You got to go by your board. I would not be surprised if they go defenseman with that pick, because I think there's still some room for work in their pipeline with defensemen. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, that, you know, it's kind of crazy to say this because for years it was the opposite. But I think if you look at their prospect pool and you list their 10 best prospects, way more of them are forwards than defensemen. I can't name a defenseman unless we feel like a guy like Spencer Stastny has moved up, and I think he probably has. But they just don't have that premier guy that looks like he's the next Ryan Ellis or Roman Josi, or you go down the list of the great defensemen that they have developed. I don't know if they've got that guy. So, no, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they use a pick on a defenseman, even though they covet that high-end forward. You heard Barry Trotz. He's like, I need guys that are going to get the fans rising up out of their seats. The other thing that I think you guys have probably tossed around, just like we have, is when you have that many picks, and this is another thing we should thank David Poile for, even though they were kind of going for it the last year or so, over the last 5 years, he never traded the first pick. So they've been compiling some pretty good prospects. If you look, they're top 10, top 12, depending on which site you're looking at, in prospect pools right now. So they have some guys on the way. So that to me gives you the option, if you want, of packaging picks to try to move up a little bit. To try to get specifically a player that you want for the right price. So that's another thing to consider.
Thanks to Willie Donick for being with us. Coming up next, time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. Nick, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you very much, Robbie. Appreciate you bringing me into this program to round things out before some NBA action tonight here on 102.5 The Game. And I want to start off where I talked about the Milwaukee Admirals last time. And since then, they are now done playing hockey. They lost in 6 games to the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And it was the Firebirds' first ever time playing against the Milwaukee Admirals, and there is a little bit of news coming out of the Milwaukee Admirals this week, as obviously, like I said, they lost in 6 games to Coachella Valley, but also an answer in net has been found for the Milwaukee Admirals in terms of an opening, not an answer for adding someone, but more or less something has now opened for the Milwaukee Admirals. After talking with Devin Cooley's agent, I have come to find out that now he will be testing free agency. And so from an RFA's perspective, that would have been he did not dress in the required amount of games for the Nashville Predators. Needless to say, it doesn't matter if he was on the ice. He does not qualify as an RFA that would be tendered an offer, and his rights would be kept for one more year or all the way up until December 1st, where if the Preds had not signed Devin Cooley by December 1st, he would then become a free agent and not be able to play at all the rest of the season. But that's not the case here. He is not a UFA in terms of I have played out my first deal and I'm also over the age where that is required, because he just turned 26 a few weeks ago. So in Devin Cooley's case, he is under the Group 6 category, which means he, like I said, did not play in the required amount of games as a pro hockey player at the NHL level. So the three times that we did see him in a Predators uniform were preseason games. And so obviously those do not count towards your contract. It has to be regular season action for someone like Cooley, who was a UFA signee as a college player out of the University of Denver. And so the Predators added him for depth in the organization. He spent some time down in Florida in the ECHL and then also played significant amount of minutes with the Milwaukee Admirals last season and this year with Yaroslav Askarov. So Askarov, he's a guy that was taking over the net all season long for the Admirals, and now Cooley's agent put it this way to me, was he's looking more to be a two or three in an organization and not a number four. So in his case, he thinks his best hockey is ahead of him, and that's fair, because ultimately when you have a guy like Askarov in front of you, you can never know how much longer he could be in the Predators organization and be in the farm team as well. So we'll see what that looks like for Askarov, but that does mean that there's an opening behind Askarov going into next season. And albeit there is another goaltender too that we found out about that has not played with the Predators as well, but Tomas Vomaka will not be within the Nashville Predators organization next year as well. He is going to be headed home to his home country this summer and will not be joining the Nashville Predators organization this coming fall. So interesting development there in terms of goaltenders. And I'm really interested to see if Barry Trotz decides to go and draft a goaltender or two. I would say maybe one, just from this current situation. He could sign someone off the street as well, whether it's college or someone that is a free agent, but there are not going to be any big fish that Barry Trotz goes after. So along with that news, good for Devin Cooley. He's going to continue his hockey career. His agent, Dan Milstein of Gold Star Hockey, tells me that he will not be joining the Nashville Predators next season or re-signing with them, potentially. Nothing is guaranteed yet, but right now they say they will be testing the open market this summer. So with that being said, there are also some key offseason players that are going to need contracts for the Nashville Predators, and I'll start off here with Cody Glass. And Cody Glass got his chance this year to play with the Nashville Predators most of the season. And so I'm glad to see that he made that jump and he played in the system this year. But ultimately, he did not get up to the level that maybe fans had anticipated. But I will say he played well enough to stay in the lineup. And toward the end of the year, after Ryan Johansson went down, he was the number one center on the team for a good chunk of time. So it's good to see him make that jump in terms of, oh, okay, I think it's interesting to me that I can stick around at this level. And so for Cody Glass's sake, it's good to see the fact that he has stepped up somewhat and he has another level that he can perhaps get to this fall. However, he does need a contract. He is a restricted free agent, and I don't know what he's necessarily worth off the top of my head, but he could go to arbitration. He is eligible for that, as are pretty much all of the RFAs on the Nashville Predators. There are quite a few of them. And so I would like to start with Cody Glass based on the merit of I have heard that there are preliminary conversations that have been had between his agent and the Nashville Predators. And so it's good to hear that if you're a Nashville Predators fan, because that's a guy you want to bring back. He's a young forward that we traded for, and I think that the other biggest thing there is still a lot of upside to Cody Glass's game. So curious to see what his status looks like here relatively soon. I don't know if a deal will be done in any certain time frame. Perhaps it's done before the draft here in 3 weeks. But hey, time will tell, and we'll see who else the Predators could sign in the meantime. And the next name that I want to get to pretty quickly is Rasmus Asplund. There was no talks there between the Predators and his agent here so far. Another one being Zach Sanford, who did split some time between the Milwaukee Admirals and the Nashville Predators. He is a UFA, so I don't know if the Preds would be interested in bringing him back. He was a depth signing last year, but not 100% positive that he will return to the organization. He's one of the few UFAs like a Devin Cooley that could be up for grabs by any other NHL team if the Predators do not sign him before July 1st. And another guy on defense, perhaps the number two on the to-do list for Barry Trotz in terms of re-signing players, is defenseman Alexander Carrier. And so there's not really been any news from Carrier's camp about if the Predators have had conversations with him, at least from my end of details that I can provide. So it's intriguing to me that he has not been signed yet, but I think that everyone's going to take their time right now around Barry Trotz coming in, and also the draft is approaching. So what could the Predators see in terms of that? And also the free agents on the market as well. I already mentioned this, but Barry's not going after any big fish. So curious to see in terms of the plan with all of these RFAs, who he does decide to bring back. Another guy that's an RFA is Cal Foote. That was part of the Tanner Janot trade back earlier in the season. So I don't know if they bring back that big defenseman. No, his dad was known for being one of the biggest hitters in the NHL, playing with the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Colorado Avalanche most notably. And so Cal spent some time with the Nashville Predators, got scratched here and there, but I'm wondering if the Predators bring a guy like him back or not. Another guy, Jake Livingstone out of college, he is under the 10.2 category of an RFA, meaning that if he is not signed in this time frame in the offseason, then he could become a free agent. So I do believe that the Predators would have interest in bringing back Jake Livingstone, who was at Minnesota State. So I think he brought a lot of grit and grind to the lineup, and he also brought a lot of confidence to skating the puck up, making some plays. He did grab a point or two, so I think he would be someone to keep even in Milwaukee next year. So we'll see where some of those things go as well. But another guy that I want to touch on here really quickly that I got to catch up with recently was Isaac Ratcliffe. He was part of a future considerations trade from the Philadelphia Flyers. He had told me that he was traded in the midst of a road trip. So that was interesting to me that he was just on the go and got told, hey, you've been moved over to Nashville. You'll join the Milwaukee Admirals. And Scott Nichol called him, and after that, he was sold. So I'm wondering if his camp would be interested in bringing him back to the Predators organization. He did play some valuable time here in the postseason, had some interesting penalties from here to there, but was productive somewhat on the offensive side. So good for him. And another RFA is John Leonard. That was part of the Luke Cunning trade. He is also on the market if he is not re-signed by the Nashville Predators or they do not want to retain his rights. So there's basically your review of some of the RFAs, but I do want to give some fans some clarity on what the conversation was like with Devin Cooley, but here's what he had to tell me in terms of if he was interested in re-signing with the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, for me, it's mostly about, you know, as a free agent, it's looking where the best opportunity is going to be for me to get to the NHL. Obviously, that's the end goal. That's everyone, you know, who's in my position, that's everyone's goal. So we're going to look at it, me and my agency, we're going to look at, you know, where we'll have the best opportunity to, you know, get the most amount of playing time, you know, and have the best opportunity to get to the NHL as well. You know, where that's going to be, you know, I can't exactly say it. You know, we'll see, you know, what teams are saying, what Nashville's saying, and kind of take things one day at a time.
So that was Devin Cooley in a conversation I had with him back in April before the AHL postseason took place. But that's going to do it for Keezer's Corner. There's your update on some of the contracts within the Nashville Predators organization. Hopefully I will have more here for you on some of those RFAs, maybe even that UFA in Zach Sanford, but time will tell. So keep it locked here on 102.5 The Game. And this has been another edition of Keezer's Corner.
All right, thanks, Nick. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next week. We're getting closer and closer to the NHL draft as well, so looking forward to all that. You've been listening to Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3 The Game.